22nd.
Rider Nation, are you ready? This November, the Grey Cup touches down in the heartland, and it's our time to bring it.
I'm calling it now. We're returning this for a touchdown if it misses.
Okay, out of the hole to Haggerty. Beattie puts his right foot into it. It's not going to help the distance, and Alford's going to bring it out. Little stutter step waiting to set up some blockers. He's at the 5, outside at the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40.
I called it.
Field. He can go. He is going to go. House call. House call.
Tonight, the Riders head east one last time to take on the Ticats in Hamilton. It's the Riders and Ticats on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Nobody covers your team like our team. Now, let's go live to the stadium with your voice of the Riders, Michael Ball and Luke Mullender, as they get you ready for kickoff. This is Rider Nation Pregame on Rider Radio, 620 CKRM.
Good afternoon, Rider Nation, and welcome to Hamilton. Thanks for making us part of your game day. Today, your Saskatchewan Roughriders will try to end a four-game slide and in the process take a giant step towards the Eastern playoffs. Yes, as you heard the big boys guys say, they're hoping, or this could be their last trip out east. That's not what they're hoping for. They're hoping to have at least a couple more trips out east, because with a win today, they can all but secure a playoff berth through the Eastern Division. Coming up, we'll hear from Coach Craig Dickinson. We'll hear from the general manager, Jeremy O'Day. We'll hear from the quarterback, Cody Fajardo. But when we start the Rider Nation portion of the pregame show, we always do it with press coverage with TSN's Glenn Suter, brought to you by North Home Windows, designing, building, and installing window systems in Saskatchewan for Saskatchewan conditions. Google North Home Windows or call 1-866-362-6525. Glenn Suter in the air traveling for a TSN broadcast. So our own great producer slash backup sports host, Sean Kleisinger, caught up with him.
Glenn, there's technically almost zero margin for error at this point. The Riders need to win this game in Hamilton tonight. If the Riders win, they would eliminate the Edmonton Elks. They would have that tiebreaker over them, and they will have that inside track for the crossover over Hamilton and Ottawa. We have heard Craig Dickinson say all week that the messaging has been a little bit different this week towards the team. Usually coach takes the same approach of the, you know, quote-unquote, just another game, but this week Craig said that, you know, he has told the guys, basically, this isn't just another game. We need to win this game. And it's going to be intriguing to see how the team responds in just under an hour here.
Yeah, you know what? It's playoff time. It really is. It's a playoff game. It's an elimination game almost. You could basically classify it as that. If you win, you're watching from the outside looking in. So, and then you have to worry or hope that other teams don't win and things like that. And it's, you don't want to get in that situation, because right now the Riders can control their own destiny. So, you know, a win here gives them that leg up. It eliminates, as you mentioned, Edmonton. And, you know, I really think that the key to it, the key to winning in this game, is going to be the mentality that you are always executing to your best ability, and then immediately when the play is over, thinking about the next play.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is the key element that isn't really measurable, but has been missing over the last couple of weeks with the Riders. Too much of the highs and lows. You know, when they score, there's the real great emotion, which is fine. But when they have something bad happen to them, that valley takes them too long to get out of.
Yeah.
Too many plays later. And I really think that's the focus, and that's what they got
to
look at.
And I kind of wanted to touch on that too. Momentum has been a struggle for the green and white this year. I like to think of momentum as like a huge wave in the ocean. The Riders are the surfer on the board, you know, and whenever they start riding that wave of momentum, they stumble and they just slip off into the ocean. But the good surfers, they can just steadily ride that wave with a cool demeanor and not panic and, you know, just trust within yourself. But like, why can't the Riders do that? Whenever they get something good going, it's almost like they panic and they slip off the track.
Yeah, it's like, you know, well, think of it this way, and it's a cool analogy, because if that surfer is up on the wave and he just gets up, so his first big moment where he's now riding it, but then he starts to celebrate too much. Mm-hmm. He starts to think to himself, okay, I've got this wave locked down now, and there's still another, you know, 5 minutes in the ride that he's got to stay concentrating to really enjoy that. Yes. So, you know, again, I hate to boo a home run. In other words, you know, when you score, you should celebrate and you should enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it's got to be short-lived in games where, you know, your playoff lives are in the balance, because it's, you know, it really in any game, but this one for sure, because when you make that big play for a first down in a 25-yard gain, excessive celebration, in other words, in your own mind, you're celebrating, you've got this team, they can't cover you, it's all downhill from here. Well, the very next play could be a turnover. Mm-hmm. And now you have to battle back that adversity. So, again, that's one thing I remember about 89, and it's honestly not about us, and I hate going back and referencing, you know, when I played, because it's about the players today. But in 89, we had this locked in focus on the next play. And it really didn't matter if it was a successful play, the previous play, successful or bad. It was the next play that mattered. So execute to the best of your ability, alignment, assignment, execution, and then think about the very next play, the moment that one is over, because you've got to maintain that concentration. You can see, Zinger, how quickly things can turn in Canadian football on you.
Yeah, and speaking of success, the Riders looking for some success along the offensive line, some positives for the Riders. Second week in a row, they will roll out the same five starting offensive linemen, Vaughn, Ferlin, Clark, Johnson, Richardson. Is it safe to say that if the Rough Riders are to make any kind of playoff push, those five guys need to be the starting five from here on out? I mean, the turnstile needs to end here, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And Cody can then have more confidence, can step up, you know, hold the ball that extra second to get it to his receivers as they come out of their routes. And I think for this matchup in particular, the interior guys, Dan Clark, Johnson, the interior three have got to handle Micah Johnson and Ted Laurent. And when you look at, you know, how powerful and strong they can be in the middle and really collapsing the pocket, that's where Dan Clark can help those two guards. And I think that's going to be a key matchup, a game within the game to be watching for in this one tonight, because, you know, those are all-star players and good linebackers behind them as well, and Santos Knox. So, you know, I think that's the key right down Main Street.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of the interior on the defensive line, a lot of fans, and myself included, have been asking this question for weeks now. This has been a team that has historically relied on a strong defense, and it just hasn't been the same lately. I know the loss of Lanier II and Garrett Marino no doubt has taken away, you would think, from the production of Robertson and Leonard on the outside, and I think it really starts there, and like the secondary has historically been good too, but it feels like they've had to pick up the slack lately, maybe, you know, since the downtrend of the defensive front. And as a result, we are seeing some exposures that we would not usually have seen. There might be some of that as a factor, but is there anything else that you can put your finger on that the defense needs to do to start playing at an elite level again?
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, Charbel DeBeer and Miles Brown and DeMarcus Christmas are good enough in the interior of that D-line in a rotation to allow for one-on-ones with A.C. Leonard and P. Robertson. So, I don't know that it's an excuse to say that Lanier and Marino missing is the key to the reason for the defense as a whole not playing as well as they should be. You know, this defense used to turn the ball over early in the season. The first third of the season, I think they were leading the league in takeaways. And there's a mindset to that, too. And again, here's another one, and I don't know this for fact. In fact, you'd have to ask every single guy on defense to get the true answer, and they probably wouldn't be honest anyway. But there's a real, momentum swing emotionally if you are watching the game in between the series that you're on. In other words, if you're riding the highs and lows of a 25-yard first down on offense and then a turnover, and you're watching that on defense, and you walk on the field thinking, uh-oh, here we go again. The you know, the problem with that is you've allowed something that you do not control in any way mess with your emotions, and just messing with them with your emotions a little bit is enough to take you off your game, to not believe. You've got to believe in something you can't see yet, which is a win, because nothing is guaranteed. So every time that defense comes off, they should be getting ready for the next series, no matter when that is. It could be after a turnover. It could be backed up on their own 5-yard line. It could because of a big punt return or something. It doesn't matter when you go on the field. Your job is to stop the offense and get a 2-and-out. And that mindset, I know the linebackers have it. They've been flying around, but that mindset's got to go through the whole defense.
Good points as always, Glenn. Riders, Ticats, in just under an hour. Thanks for your time, my friend.
Thanks, Inger.
Thanks to Sean Kleisinger and Glenn Suter for press coverage. This segment of the Rider Nation pregame show brought to you by Cooperator. See Aaron at Aaron & Associates Insurance in Regina. Wood River Controls, Young's Equipment, Indian Head Chrysler, Sass Milk, The Wireless Age, your SaskTel authorized dealer, McDougal Auctioneers, Salford Group. When we come back to Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton, we'll check in with the coach, the Craig Dickinson Show, brought to you by Saloon Tires. This is the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Your voice of the Riders, Michael Ball, is breaking down today's matchups with coaches, guests, and all the info you need to know. It's the access and details you'll only find with Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
And welcome back to the Donut Box in Hamilton, Tim Hortons Field. The Hamilton Tiger Cats and Saskatchewan Rough Riders getting ready for a playoff-like football game here today. If the Rough Riders win, they almost put a fork in the Tiger Cats' playoff hopes. If not, then the Riders are on life support in terms of the playoffs. We're coming to you live from the McDougal Auctioneers broadcast booth. Best in the bidding business, McDougalAuction.com. Time now for the Craig Dickinson Show, brought to you by Saloon Tire. Cars, trucks, or SUVs, Saloon Tire has you covered like a championship-winning defense. League-leading value and performance that you can count on. Craig Dickinson joins us each Monday on the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM, the flagship of the Rough Rider Radio Network. Our show is 4 to 6:30. He joins us after 5 each Monday to break down the game that was, and we caught up with him after that Winnipeg loss.
This has been the issue for the team. You've been in most games until it slipped away, like the flu game, as I like to call it. You were in it for a bit, a tough, gritty effort, but you came up short. Here again, you're in the mix, but you just can't make those two or three plays. Why is that? Like, where's it breaking down for you?
You know, I wish I could tell you. I think it's just simple execution. You know, the plays you're talking about in our game, obviously, were the short yardage plays on offense that we failed to convert, and then we gave up some big plays on defense. But it comes down to one guy here or one guy there, and the reality is that's what makes football really such a beautiful game, is it's truly a team game where you need all 12 guys on the same page. You need them all working together, and if one guy has a little misstep, that's what can happen. So, you know, we played hard in that game. We played well at times, but to beat a good team like Winnipeg, you're gonna have to play well the entire 60 minutes of the game and not have any of those slip-ups like we had in that game.
Yeah, coach, because I think this is really indicative of your team. Your quarterback actually has been playing some pretty decent football the last 4 weeks, but like your team, in my opinion, he's inconsistent at times. Like, he throws a beautiful pass to Kian Schaefer-Baker on the corner route. Maybe his best pass of the year. It was perfect. On that drive, he drops a snap, which he never drops, and that hurts you guys. That snuffs out a drive. Then you drive back, and he showed great character leading your team down, scrapping and clawing, and then he misses a simple layup in the flats to Kian Schaefer-Baker. It's a walk-in touchdown. You guys have the game tied all of a sudden at 17. Instead, you settle for a field goal. They go down and score the touchdown, and then the game runs away from you. It's just kind of, you know what I mean? It's almost that is indicative of what's happened with this team this year.
Yeah, we've in some ways, we failed to do the little things well. And really, that's the difference between good teams and just average teams. And that's been a point of emphasis for us this week. It's been a point of emphasis for us really for the last month or so, is do the little things right, the big things, which is eventually the score, will take care of itself. And those are the little things that can kill you. And the crazy thing is, you know, I don't think we've had a drop snap all year, even in practice, but he just took his eyes off of it and hit his hands and dropped, and those things do happen. But we got to work hard to make sure that we do the little things right, like snap the football accurately, which I thought Dan Clark did. Make sure we catch that football clean and then get our eyes downfield and go from there. But you're right. The little things can get you in the end if you don't do them well, and we got to keep working on those in practice and keep emphasizing it.
936-6262, the number to text our Capital GMC Buick Cadillac text line. We'll get to some in a minute. Coach, so I'm going to ask you this, because in pro sports we like to, oh, this isn't working, blow it up and get rid of it and get rid of everything. So listen, I've watched enough bad football here in my 40-some years watching football. Been around 50 years, but 43 probably watching. So you get to a West Final and you lose on home turf, which we, in my time, have hardly hosted a West Final. So there's a check mark in the pro column. And you hit a goal post, probably go to the, well, you go to the Grey Cup and you who knows if you win it or not. Then COVID year, whatever. And then you guys go to Winnipeg after you started the season with five dudes. Not one, not two, not three, five dudes blow their Achilles out in like 20 minutes. You have 18 on the injured list, and you still almost win that game. Okay, and I know we're not into almost wins, we're into wins. But where I'm going with this is, I would think Craig Dickinson and his coaching staff are coaching the same way that they did in 2021 and 2019. So what's the difference? Like, what's the difference? You didn't get stupid overnight, so what happened? What's going on here?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we got to look in the mirror and try to do things better ourselves. I mean, one thing we've worked really hard at this year was really trying to develop a culture of accountability and a culture of support and open communication in the locker room. And I think we have it. I really do. The other thing, I just don't think we've done a good job, and maybe we need to continue to work on it, of continuity, and a lot of that's out of our hands. We've had injuries, we've had issues where we've had to move guys in and out, and we just haven't developed, in my opinion, that continuity, specifically on offense, where you got the same five O linemen every week, the same six receivers every week, and you know, some of that is still on coaching, though, because the reality is, in pro sports, you're going to have injuries, so we got to make sure our offense, our defense, our kicking game is not necessarily easy to learn, or excuse me, I shouldn't say not necessarily easy, but easy enough to learn that if you do have injuries, you can still slide a new guy in there and he can do well. So as far as from the coaching perspective, I think we got to work harder in the offseason of figuring out, okay, we still want to have our offense, defense, kicking game, and have it complex in some ways to give us advantages, but we got to make it easily learnable for the players, because we didn't have the continuity this year for a lot of reasons, and for some reason we weren't able, at least up till now, to get the guys to be able to learn it quickly and to be able to execute the way we should. So I think there's a lot of factors that go into it, but certainly coaching, we got to do a better job moving forward.
Hey man, your quarterback talked about playing for the playoffs and playing for his future because it's a contract year for him. You're a human being. Do you even think about your future, or are you just worried about what's coming up next week? Because I mean, let's be honest here. You're in a fishbowl. When things are great, Coach Dickinson's awesome. When things are bad, let's get rid of everybody. Do you block that out? Do you let that? Because I saw you after the game. You weren't doing jumping jacks, but you also were just kind of, you had a relaxed look on your face. So where's your mindset at?
Well, I feel like if you do the best you can and you give it everything you've got, that you can sleep well at night. There's a peace of mind in doing that. So I'm not worried about my future. I certainly want to be here for as long as I can, for as long as Rider Nation wants me, and for as long as this organization thinks I can do a good job and lead the team for them. But I am so darn busy just trying to get ready to play Hamilton that it just doesn't occupy my mind all that well much. You know, I'm not a what if sort of guy. I'm more of what's in front of me and what do we need to do to get better for tomorrow.
talked to Coach before the game, and he's pretty pumped here walking into the stadium. He thinks his team is the right mindset, and they're ready to go in this big playoff-like game. This segment of the pregame show brought to you by Western Ag Professional Agronomy, SaskTel, Right Way Manufacturing. When we come back, we're going to go back earlier this week when Jeremy O'Day made a rare appearance before the media to talk about not making any moves before the trade deadline. You're listening to the Rider Nation pregame show from the McDougal Auctioneers broadcast booth on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
The Riders play here. Saskatchewan Sports Radio, The Source, 620 CKRM.
This portion of the Rider Nation pregame show brought to you by Spreads.ca, Degelman Industries, the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency, and Double Z Ag Sales, the sponsor of our text line in game at 936-6262. Let's get that hype horn going. Give us a text at 936-6262 and let us know where you're listening from, because in Rider Nation, on this big day in Hamilton, we all ride together like Audrey Turnus and Red Deer and Scott Isbister, who texted in, listening in Honduras on the 620 CKRM app. All right, that sounds like a fire drill, and the Riders are under fire a little bit, of course, being 6-9 in the year where they're hosting the Grey Cup. And meeting the firing squad, a.k.a. the media this week, was the GM, Jeremy O'Day.
You know, expectations coming into the year, at this time of the year, you want to be in a different position, right? You want to be fighting for home playoff games, and that's something that we've done in the past. So it's obviously disappointed that you're in the situation that you're in, but you're also understanding that we still have a chance to get to our ultimate goal, right? So the trade deadline's interesting. It's a lot different than any other league, right? So we don't sit and wait for the trade deadline and they go, okay, there's a trade deadline, let's start making trades, right? So, but you always understand that at a certain point you're not going to be able to make any trades anymore. So, you know, I would say that we've had conversations and we've been in communications with other teams. I don't think that there's going to be any trades that are happening for us before the deadline here, barring something that changes at the last minute. But those discussions happen every year, and it's not just because the trade deadline's happening tomorrow. It's throughout the year where we get give trade talks both on our guys and then also guys on other teams. But it's no doubt it's been a challenging season. We're not real good at making excuses for what our record is currently. So, but you know, you're always going to face challenges throughout the season. I think that, you know, that we've obviously faced our fair share of them with everything that's gone on throughout the season. You want some adversity to happen. You don't want as much as we face. But you know, like I said, hopefully we're growing from that, and we're learning from everything that's gone through the season, and we just really need to make the push here in the playoffs.
Would you like to see the trade deadline moved up? Because it takes, we always talk about when a guy gets to the team, it takes 12 and then learn the system. Basically, only have 4 weeks to deal with the trade deadline.
I don't think it matters, Murray, because you know, that's your choice of when you trade for him, right? So if it was further up, then it would just be less time for you to make trades, right? So with injuries that can happen, you know, a lot of times in our league, our rosters are so small, so it's not a norm for trades to happen a whole bunch, just because you know, it's a small league, and a lot of the teams are still in the playoff hunt, right? So unless you're trading starters for starters or guys that are you know, on the injured reserve, there's not a lot of fluctuation that goes back and forth. If you're strong in a certain area, then that's usually when it happens, when you have a little value to trade.
At what point do you start having serious conversations about the offseason and into next season?
We don't talk about next year until the season's over. Obviously, it's my job to keep my eye on the present and both the future. So there are some things you need to prepare for leading into the playoffs. You try to get that most of that work done before you get into the playoffs. We have a bye week coming up, so that's a good situation for us to try to knock some of that stuff off. But the reality is we're 100% just focused on this year, right? So the goal's still in front of us. We've made it a little more difficult than we want to, but we certainly still have the opportunity to get where we want to.
Welcome back to the McDougal Auctioneers broadcast booth in Hamilton. That was Jeremy O'Day. He's on the trip. I saw a couple of other personnel kicking around. Ed Herbie, I saw in our hotel, former Elks and BC Lions GM. Also saw Danny McManus around our hotel today. And of course, like I said, Jeremy O'Day on the trip with the football team, along with the president, Craig Reynolds. When we come back, our pregame injury report. You're listening to the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
Rider Pride worldwide. Listen to Rider Radio around the globe with the official CKRM app. It's a free download for your smartphone at 620ckrm.com.
Teams are working out on the field and putting things together. Final touches on the sidelines as well. Before this game, our sideline report brought to you by Ritchie Brothers. We love CFL football. Enjoy the game. Call Ritchie Brothers Auctioneers for all your buying and selling needs. Visit rbauction.com. Time now for our pregame injury report. Focused on injury prevention, the Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association provides affordable safety training to the construction industry. Let's look at the Riders' injured list. Jamal Campbell on the one game, so is Sam Emelis, Jake Hardy, Amari Henderson, Justin Herdman-Reed, Charleston Hughes, that's a notable scratch, Gary Johnson Jr., Anthony Lanier II, still out because of a concussion. We'll talk about that as the broadcast goes along. And Keenan LaFrance, who was hurt in a third and short situation in Winnipeg last week on the one game. These are the six games. Nicholas Daly, Nigel Harris, Frankie Hickson, David Kenny, Wesley Lewis, Nelson Lacombo, Jamal Morrow, although he was back at practice last week, Godfrey Onyeka, Justin Rice, Micah Tights, Duke Williams. They're hoping to get Duke back after the bye, and maybe Anthony Lanier II, although he is bothered by a concussion, so that's always a fluid situation, as it were. On the other side for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, here's some notables not in the game. Don Jackson on the one game, Stephen Dunbar Jr. out, so is Braylon Addison, he's been out all year, and Pappy White, so they've got some good receivers out, and so is Simone Lawrence, he is not in, neither is Regina's Nick Cross, those two guys on the sixth game along with Braylon Addison. When we come back, Luke Molitor joins us in the broadcast booth as we'll kick it off with the quarterback comparisons. This is the Rider Nation pregame show from Tim Hortons Field on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Instagram. The anticipation is building. The air is electric. The color is green. This is Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. We're now just 30 minutes away from kickoff. Stay tuned. We'll have more all-access interviews from the Riders and get Luke Mullender's three keys to the game. It's all part of the CFL's most comprehensive game day coverage. Rider Nation pregame, only on Rider Radio, the source, 620 CKRM.
And welcome to Terrain Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton, Ontario. And tonight, your Saskatchewan Rough Riders at 6-9 take on the Hamilton Tiger Cats, who have won all four of their games right here on home field. If the Riders win tonight, they'll basically put the Tiger Cats on the verge of being eliminated from the playoffs. If not, then the Riders are going to need a lot of help to make it to the postseason, a postseason where they are hosting the Grey Cup. I'm in the McDougal Auctioneers broadcast booth, Michael Ball, along with my color commentator, Luke Molitor. And Luke, I mean, we're not in the playoffs yet, but
basically we're in the playoffs starting tonight.
Game, and I hope that the guys on the field understand the sense of urgency that needs to go into today's game. I think that obviously, just like last week, a lot has to go right for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I look at the quarterback matchups, as we talked about, in Mullender's matchup today, is essentially two identical quarterbacks, quarterbacks that have happy feet, quarterbacks that don't necessarily read the pocket as well. And I think that whatever quarterback plays the best under those circumstances today and makes the football throws needed, that's the team that's going to come out on top.
You know what's interesting about these quarterbacks? Dane Evans has never beaten Saskatchewan. Cody Fajardo's never lost to Hamilton. When Dane Evans, who is 14-12 as a starter, Luke, when he's rolling in victories, he has 8 touchdowns and no interceptions. Conversely, 7 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. Meantime, Cody Fajardo's a guy that is 27-16 as a starter, but they've lost 4 games in a row. Something's got to give tonight between these quarterbacks. Which one do you like the best in this matchup? Because, like you just alluded to, they're similar quarterbacks.
Yeah. Really identical quarterbacks. Both have talent. Both have decent arm strength. But again, you know, when it comes to probably both flaws, both are really panicky in the pocket, especially when the pocket's morphing or whether it's shrinking. So I think that's where the game's going to be won. I do feel like Cody Fajardo's got a slight edge just based on athleticism alone and the ability to break out of that pocket. But again, I don't think the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are going to pull out a win if they're relying on the legs of Cody Fajardo today.
Our quarterback comparison brought to you by Prairie Gun Traders in Avonlea. For all your hunting and shooting needs, visit prairieguntraders.ca. Hey, speaking of Cody Fajardo, he talked this week about what lies ahead for the team.
We're just trying to make the playoffs any way as possible, and now the only way is the crossover path. And no one's ever made it to the Grey Cup as a crossover team, and if we are the crossover team, that would be our goal. It'd be a pretty unique situation for us, but I think the guys are excited. We got 3 games left, and with Hamilton coming up, this is a win-or-go-home mentality. It's a must-win game for us, and try and separate ourselves in the standings, at least in the East, looking that way. And then we have Calgary back-to-back, so it's a difficult schedule for us, but these guys have been through a lot. As everybody knows, adversity wise, and the optimism is very high still. You know, looking at 0-4 in the month of September is not great, but the guys aren't hanging their heads. We're not giving it up. We're not waving the white flag. We're here to try and clinch a crossover spot, and we're going to give it everything we have. Win or go home, that's as big as it gets for us. So we're excited about the opportunity. We know that we still have a chance to make the playoffs, and anytime you get a chance to still be in the make the playoffs this late in the season, you're feeling pretty good. And so we're excited about this opportunity, and it's a big game, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows it in this province. Everybody knows it in their province. And it'll be my first time playing in Hamilton since week 1 in 2019. So it's been a long time since I've been over there, and it's a great atmosphere. One of the first places I fell in love with when I first got into the CFL, and I was with Toronto. It was one of the first away games I got to see, and fell in love with the atmosphere there. It's got that high quality college football feel, and it's going to be no different this week on Friday. I think their fans are going to bring it, and we got to be able to operate in the noise. You know, last week it couldn't have got any worse at the second half where we didn't have a running back. So J.O. and Dickey have brought some guys in, and looks like they got some juice. And having Shaq Cooper back, a guy who understands this offense, it's not like he's going to be struggling with the playbook. He's gonna, a guy that we can plug and play. And then we have guys like Schaefer who can play running back, guys like Tuck who showed that he can play a running back as well. So we're in a better situation than we were looking at the third and fourth quarter of last week. Just a calming influence for me and for the guys, especially the guys up front. He's a leader, and a lot of guys are just leaders by the way they live their life, and Dan's is every bit of that. And so to have him back in the lineup, it gave us a lot of confidence. I thought the offensive line played tremendously well against a very tough Winnipeg defense, and gave me time to make plays and make reads down the field. We had some inopportune just bad fortune and some bad situations where it ended up being really big pivotal moments of the game, and that's unfortunate when you play a team like that, is you can't make those mistakes. But that's behind us now, and now we're looking at a three-game season, and all eyes are focused on Hamilton. They're coming off a bye week. They're going to be hungry. They know the situation as well, so it's going to be a smash-mouth CFL football game that I think goes into the fourth quarter.
But you look at those inopportune situations, the snap, and you said you never that it never happened before, the short pass to Schaefer Baker, you're going to make that 99 times out of 100. You just look at the sky and just wonder what on earth happens.
You know, me being me, ever since I hit the goalpost against Winnipeg, I mean, I haven't got any luck, and it's crazy, but at some point it's got to shake and it's got to be better, but trust me, mentally it's very difficult when you have a couple things just that are fluke things that never happen in a game, and it happens against your biggest rival, against a team that's very talented where you can't make those mistakes. So by any reason, I wasn't pressing or anything. It's just that's how the football fell that day, and it's unfortunate that I was on the wrong side of it. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult anytime you travel out east, and we get in late, and fortunately for us, we do have a late game, so guys can get some sleep, and we know what we have against us going out east, and I think the guys, we have a lot of professionals now in that locker room, a lot of guys who are rookies and young guys early on in the year, and who've traveled to games and learned how to be a pro, and so we got to be the utmost pros this weekend, and we're going to have a Hamilton team that's fired up like I talked about, so we got to bring everything we got, protect the football, don't turn it over, and try and quiet their crowd the best we can when and make plays.
That's Cody Fajardo hoping to lead his team to a victory, first time in five games that would happen. They're 2-8 since July the 14th. This segment of the pregame show brought to you by Bayer Crop Science, science for a better life. The Association of Professional Engineers and Geoscientists of Saskatchewan. Access Communications, Bronc Beer, Seedmaster, CAA Insurance, Special Blend by Weiser's, First Nations University. When we come back, our weather report from Steel Town here in Hamilton. You're listening to the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
Rider Radio lives at 620 CKRM on Facebook, on Twitter, and in the sports cage at 620CKRM.com.
Welcome back to Tim Horton Field, live from the McDougall Auctioneers broadcast booth with Luke Molitor. I'm Michael Ball. Time now to take a look at our weather here in the pregame, brought to you by Johnston's Grain for all your grain marketing and crop input needs. Visit johnstonsgrain.com. Currently it's 8 degrees Celsius, mostly cloudy. Of course, it is night here in Hamilton, as we're 2 hours ahead of you where you're listening in Saskatchewan, if that is indeed where you're listening. No chance of precipitation, or very little. The temperature will drop maybe a degree or two. And right now, northwest wind at 12 kilometers an hour, and we're not expecting it to pick up any more than that. So a nice night for football here on October 7th from Hamilton, Ontario. This portion of the pregame show brought to you by Sastel Nick Service and Saskatchewan Foster Families Association. When we come back, for Pattison Liquid Systems, it's Luke Molitor's Three Keys to the Game on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Rider Pride Worldwide. Listen to Rider Radio around the globe with the official CKRM app. It's a free download for your smartphone at 620CKRM.com.
Welcome back to the Rider Nation pregame show. Time now for the three keys to the game, brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Luke Mulder, your three keys to the game. Let's start with number one. Create turnovers.
Yeah, I think number one and two key today are going to go hand in hand, but this team's got to get back to creating some turnovers. It's probably the biggest discrepancy from the way they were winning football games to their challenges in competing in football games now. So this team's got to, whether it's through scheme, whether it's through the defensive front, or whether it's just through secondary effort alone, this team has to start creating turnovers. It doesn't have to be interceptions. We can get forced fumbles with recoveries. We can get turnovers announced. It's got to tilt our way today.
Well, Luke raised a good point, because in the first half of the season, the Riders were plus 10. The back half here, they've been minus 11 in the giveaway takeaway category. Number two in Luke Mulder's keys to the game, Quarterback pressure.
Yeah, specifically in the interior. Today, you and I have alluded to the fact that it's really changed since Lanier's been missing and Garrett Marino got released. We have to get some production pressure-wise out of Miles Brown, DeMarcus Christmas, and Charbel DeBeer. If not, what I would recommend doing is maybe mixing in A.C. Leonard and Robertson into the middle, right, somehow in a three-man front with one of the other linebackers playing that rush, because it's got to improve, and Dane Evans is one of those sporadic, sketchy quarterbacks under pressure. We have to figure out a way to get him moving today, because that is where he will start throwing those interceptions. That's where he'll start committing those turnovers and errors.
When we talk about quarterback pressure, here's a couple of interesting stats. The Rough Riders didn't give up a sack last game. First time that happened. The only other time that happened was in week one against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And the Cats' last six sacks, four of them have come from Canadian defensive end Mason Bennett out of Winnipeg. And your third key to the game, Luke Bonner, is
this team. And it's got to be we versus me. People have to understand that it's not just about the guys in the locker room. These guys' families have made sacrifices. The equipment guys are making sacrifices. The coaches are making sacrifices. Like, it's about so much more than just individual performance today. And I think that that's one of the things that has been missing over these tumultuous and adverse times is the presence of guys who are advocating for the team versus the individual accomplishments. So today, it's got to be an all-in moment. It's got to be something that really turns around a number of the narratives going on in Saskatchewan Rough Rider and in Rider Nation. Because again, this is the biggest opportunity. This is the biggest game in Saskatchewan in the last few seasons. This is all or nothing. They're not making the playoffs if they lose today's game. I don't care what the scenario and the math is. I'm not the mathematician of the crew here, but I'm not willing to say that they've got a chance if they do lose this game. They have no chance. It'll be over. And so these guys need to understand the gravity the situation and do it for somebody other than themselves today.
I'm on board with what Luke just said. His three keys to the game for Pattison Liquid Systems. This segment of the pregame show brought to you by Athol Murray College of Notre Dame, Salford Group, Golden West Trailers and Equipment, and Farm Credit Canada. When we come back, we'll have our starting lineups as the Riders are on the field warming up, awaiting the Hamilton Tiger Cats. It's the Riders and the Tabbies from Steeltown in a playoff-like game. Friday Night Football in the CFL of the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
I accredited.
Stand up. Get loud. Bleed green. Kickoff is just minutes away. This is Rider Nation pregame on the home of the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Hamilton Tiger Cats taken to the field with Welcome to the Jungle blaring on the public address system here at Terrain Tim Hortons Field. Time now for your starting lineups brought to you by Gowan Canada. Get the job done for early weed management in lentils or canola with an application of Edge Microactive. It pays to fall apply. And when we're talking about the starting lineups, here's how the Riders will line up defensively. And there's a couple of changes.
P. Robinson, DN, Longview, Texas.
Miles Brown, defensive tackle, Wofford College.
DeMarcus Christmas, defensive tackle, Manatee High School.
A.C. Leonard, defensive end, Tennessee State University.
Larry Champ Dean, linebacker, the Vet Austin State University.
Darnell Sankey, linebacker, Swag State.
Derek Moncrief, Sam, linebacker, Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College.
Nick Marshall, DB, Auburn University. Roland Milligan, defensive back, University of Toledo.
Blaise Brown, defensive back, the Troy University.
Jeremy Clark, University of Michigan.
Hi, my name is Mike Edom, Jack of all trades, University of Calgary.
The Rough Riders, like you heard, Blaise Brown will start at halfback, Jeremy Clark at corner, and a rookie from Syracuse by the name of Cody Roscoe backs up Pete Roberts and Charleston Hughes, not in the lineup. Time now to look at your offensive starters.
Cody Fajardo, quarterback, University of Nevada, go Pack.
Shaq Cooper, running back, Coconut Grove, Florida.
James Tuck,
fullback, Cardinal Carter Catholic High School.
Shaq Evans, wide receiver, UCLA.
Keenan Schaefer Baker, wide receiver, Ball So Hard University.
Justin McKinnis, wide receiver, Arkansas State University.
Braden Lenius, wide receiver, University of Washington.
Kyron Moore, wide receiver, Revenge Tour.
Taren Vaughn, left tackle, Ozen High School.
Logan Ferlin, offensive line, Melford Thomas.
Dan Clark, center, Tom Collegiate.
Evan Johnson, offensive line, University of Saskatchewan.
Cooper Richardson, offensive lineman, Sacramento State.